Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash coming to you live again from my dining room as we are social distancing in the era of COVID-19. And as we are sheltering in place, the first thing that I thought about was, well, if you're sheltering in place and it's not safe, what are your options? And that's why I wanted to make sure that we got Janice Miller back in to talk to us. She is the Director of Programs and Clinical Services at House of Ruth Maryland. Good morning, Janice. How are you?
Good morning, Gina. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Oh, this is so important. You guys are all about intimate partner violence and how you can help others, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. So I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and to help a lot of people this morning. Now, I know you've had you in many times, and we love having you in. And now I guess you're also kind of coming sheltering in place at the moment and working remotely. So we appreciate you doing that. And the last time we had you in, I think we were talking about how long you've been at House of Ruth, which is at least, what, over 20 years now. Is that right?
Yes, it's been 22 years.
Yeah, amazing. So your experience that you have to draw upon, have you really ever witnessed anything like this? I guess if you started back then, you would have, you know, worked through 9/11 and all of that, which was also difficult for our country, but this even more so. So did you have any kind of point of reference from your background about how to handle this situation?
Well, I'll tell you, Gina, I've been doing this work, like I said, for 22 years at House of Ruth and then for even longer in the field, and I've never in my life lived through anything like this, and I think that most of us are in the same place where we've just really never had an experience that's quite like this one. You know, I think the difference between a pandemic and the kind of widespread social distancing that we're talking about and incidents like 9/11 or like the snowstorm, I think, are a really good example for the Baltimore area, are that those are very time limited, and there's a certain process that people go through to try to deal with the immediate crisis and get back to a normal level of functioning. And this is a much longer process, and we really don't have a guidebook for how to get through it.
Right. So when you guys were working together at House of Ruth Maryland in the early stages, like we all were, about how do we keep our services going? How do we get the staff working remotely and that sort of thing? How are you doing that? Are you working from home? And then you still, of course, have your 24-hour hotline. Of course, we'll talk about in a little bit. But is that it's pretty much that you're not going to your facility every day? Is that kind of what's changed the most?
Well, we were really adamant that we were going to remain open for our clients. You know, we have a 23-room shelter that we operate for families and their children, and we wanted to make sure that those individuals still had the option to be able to come to shelter, that when things got really bad at home, people could still call our hotline, they could still receive over-the-phone counseling, know about their options, and that protective orders were still able to be obtained through the court system. Our attorneys are still able to represent folks in court. And so we had a number of decisions that we had to make very, very quickly about which services were still going to be provided on site and which services were going to be transitioned remotely. And so, you know, I think working all together, the leadership really tried to pull together the resources so that most staff could go work remotely and continue to connect with folks that way, while we kept our emergency shelter open and operating, and our attorneys continue to go into the courts to provide the representation for the protective orders. That was really important to us.
Yeah, that is so important. I was just going to say, give you guys accolades for your social media. I'm looking at, you know, your latest tweet and Instagram post is all about, you know, need a protective order, call our legal clinic, and you can still do that at 410-554-8463. So that's so important with so many things and so many services not available right now. The fact that you guys have made sure that that is still something that people can get if they need to is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you think about what's really socially responsible right now is that we not move around as much as possible, that we try to stay home as much as possible. But when you're living with an abusive partner, that becomes a very dangerous situation for you and for your family. And we really didn't want people to have to choose between their health and their life. And we wanted to make sure that the essential services that folks really need to be safe if they need to escape were still available and ready for them.
That's right, because they might think, well, where else am I going to go? And, you know, they can't just, you know, really, where do you go, right? You just, the fact, if you weren't there, again, we always think this when you come on without your services, how would people be getting the help they need? And this is even more complicated than ever. So with much of the country following those stay-at-home orders, not just in Maryland, but everywhere, what have you seen change in the world of intimate partner violence, the sorts of things that you all are handling right now?
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty well documented that when natural disasters occur, when there's upheaval in areas, that domestic violence spikes. And so we are not expecting anything different with result to the pandemic and the restrictions that are in place. Now, a lot of hotlines have actually noted a decrease in callers to them, and our hotline is really no exception. And the reason for that is because the avenues by which people usually contact a hotline are now all closed. So doctor's offices are closed, schools are closed, work. People have been sent home from work. So those are places where folks might contact us for help, and now they no longer have those avenues available. They don't go over to their friends or family house to get a respite from their abusive partner, so they can't contact us from there. And then also, I think folks just think, well, I just have to put up with this for a little bit longer, and then I'll be able to call in the future. Or they don't have the space at home to be able to call. So
Right. Yeah, where do you get that privacy for a minute when it's something so personal like that?
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we've been working very, very hard and hope to have up by the beginning of June chat line, so that when folks are home, they might be able to pop into the bathroom and send off a couple of chats to our chat line to try to get resources or information, because we know that that's a service that is, you know, we've been trying to get up and running, but we just haven't had a chance to do it yet. But we are expecting that should be up and running by June.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then again, the emergency hotline, if anybody listening this early in the program too needs that emergency hotline, by all means, that's why don't you make sure to give that to us right now, Janice, so we can jot that down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 410-889-7884. And we have somebody answering that phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Perfect. And that spells out 410-889-RUTH, which is also handy and easy to remember. So, yeah, we're talking about some of the reasons that being stuck at home may not be safe for everyone. I mean, you've heard on a more basic level, you've heard, you know, relationship experts talking about how people are getting on each other's nerves. But this is a good deal different than that, obviously, that we're talking about it not being safe for someone. So to be stuck at home right now and sheltering in place. So what are some of those reasons why that may not be safe for everyone? And if anybody's feeling unsafe, what are those signs that it's getting into the territory of not just your basic, you know, getting on each other's nerves and leading into more serious things than that?
Sure. I mean, I think that for anybody who's spending an extended amount of time in the house with someone, whether it's your children or your partner, I think we all know that, you know, sometimes we just want our space. We just want some alone time, or if you've got limited resources and you're trying to work out who's got the internet at this time and who's got the computer in the house at this other time. But when you're living with an abusive partner, all that negotiation just becomes much more difficult. So you might have a partner who's refusing to allow a victim to use their devices during work time when their boss is maybe expecting them to work from home, or they may be, you know, scrutinizing every call that they're making, or hoarding all of the food for themselves, or sending their partner out to get food and then not letting them back in the house because they may be, you know, contaminated by the virus. Or, you know, we've heard stories of abusive partners not allowing their victims to breastfeed because they are saying that it's not safe for the baby, even though a lot of guidance has come out saying that breastfeeding is still preferable for everybody at this point. So these are just some of the more insidious ways that partners are controlling their victims at home, and victims are trying to negotiate through this pandemic in a way that keeps them and their children safe.
Wow. And, you know, how also is it factored in, for instance, if there's a job loss or stress about food insecurity and the other, you know, economic and the uncertainty of when all this is going to end? I mean, everybody's feeling that normal anxiety in this situation, but have you heard of cases where that's sort of escalating too, where your people are just getting, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when a partner had a job to go to every day and now suddenly they're at home, they have much more time to monitor their victim and to control what the victim is doing. It also that sense of feeling like, you know, money gets tight, and that makes folks feel more stressed out. And so things that may have been a little more manageable or less manageable when the stimulus checks were all distributed, you know, that's a really great opportunity for abusive partners to take control of that money and spend it on what they think that they need to spend it on. And so a victim may have thought that they were going to spend that money on food or to pay the utility bill, but the abusive partner may have taken that and spent it on what they felt like spending it on and not really considered what the needs of the victim or the children in the household were. And though all of those stressors then contribute to arguments, and in an abusive relationship, you know, it's sometimes it's difficult to argue with an abusive partner because that leads to physical violence.
Right, right. And then talking about the financial issues, a lot of the time the game plan is to sort of save some money and come up with a plan of how to get out of a situation. But if you're talking about money that you don't have access to, or it's creating a source of argument for your partner, then that becomes even more difficult.
Exactly. And maybe your escape plan may have been to go to your mother's house or to go to a friend's house, and now you don't want to do that because maybe it's not safe over there. Maybe they're caring for somebody who's vulnerable and you don't want to risk bringing the virus into their house. Or you don't have the transportation available because you normally take public transportation, and you think, oh, I don't want to get on public transportation because that's where the virus may be. And so a lot of, you know, survivors are just enduring the abuse. So by the time they do call us, those stories that they're telling us have much more severe violence associated with them than they would even, you know, 6 months ago.
Wow. And then again, it's taking longer for them to get a hold of you if they can't get that private moment to call the hotline. So it's going on longer and longer, which is another scary thing to think about. And what are some of the issues that the current quarantine poses for those facing intimate partner violence at home? And what are you telling those folks? How can they try their best to get through this? What are some of the things that you're sort of guiding people along about? Have you done this, that, or, you know, the checklist of what to recognize is a problem, and then how you're helping them remotely at least to you know, take the necessary steps to get safe?
Yeah, so, you know, the first thing that we want to make sure people understand is that we are open. So you can call our 24-hour hotline. You can, you know, call and inquire about shelter if things get really bad, or you could go to the court and get a protective order and get assistance in getting that protective order. And those are all measures that can help to keep you safe because they could remove the abusive partner from your home. They could remove you from the home and really give you the space so that you don't have to be abused. But survivors are really resilient, and they know how to keep themselves safe in the moment. So some of it is just basic safety planning, like staying out of rooms that have weapons. If you think about it, kitchens are full of weapons. They have knives.
You're right.
And forks.
Yep.
You know, so we say, let's stay out of the kitchen. Like, that's a good thing to do. Also, if you know there are certain trigger points during the day, to try to time going outside for fresh air during those trigger points, give the abusive partner space so that maybe take the kids outside so that it tries to maybe not escalate it as much. It is never the victim's responsibility to stop abuse, but these are safety strategies that victims can take to try to help mitigate some of the violence if they can't safely escape it.
Right. Now, how about folks that don't have access to the internet, or, you know, maybe they don't have a job that provides a laptop, or, you know, school hasn't provided, or they just don't have it, or even more so if they don't have access to a phone to get help? How are you helping those folks that don't have those resources to get in contact with you?
Well, so other essential services that are open include the hospitals, the police services, and those folks can also help individuals get to us. For assistance, there are options to help people immediately in the moment. So in Baltimore City, we work with the police on a lethality assessment project where they do assess for domestic violence on the calls that they go out for. And the police do have the option to help transport victims who need immediate assistance.
Okay, that's good to know. Wow, I didn't realize that. And that the protective orders that you're providing are just, that is such a lifeline, and that legal line and 24/7 hotline remain open and can assist you in that process. And thank you guys for doing that. Again, what is that number to get more information about the order?
Sure. We try to direct everybody through our 24-hour hotline. Again, that's 410-889-7884, 410-889-RUTH.
Got it. Okay, and then you can take the necessary steps to get the protective order. So what has House of Ruth been doing during this pandemic to keep victims safe? Do you have an example? Everybody loves a little good news right now, an example of someone who has come through that you have helped that, the story kind of had a happy ending, if you will. You know, what are some of those success stories that you're seeing even during the pandemic?
Sure. So one of the things that we normally operate is a food pantry in East Baltimore. And when the pandemic restrictions went into place, we had to shut that particular office access. And I have to say that the staff did a really amazing job of going in and packaging the food and figuring out a way to be able to deliver food directly to victims that we're working with out in the community. And so for some of the survivors who had been working in jobs where they were suddenly laid off, they didn't have a safety net or a cushion in place, this was an opportunity for them to continue to be able to sustain their families in this time of need. You know, the staff took all appropriate cautions and social distancing and contactless drop-off, texting back and forth with victims at their homes so that they could say that they definitely received the food service. And we know that more than one of those families thanked us for helping them to get through this period of time.
That's awesome. And so how else, like, I know that it's difficult with the pandemic and the social limitations. I know a lot of your, fundraising efforts and things like that they've gone virtual, or you have that, maybe have you noticed a decrease in donations and inquiries about volunteering and things like that. Is that something that you particularly need help with at this time?
Yeah, I mean, we had to cancel our signature fundraiser in April, our spring luncheon, because it just wasn't safe to hold that particular fundraiser. A lot of folks who had donated to the event continued to say, go ahead and keep that donation. We've had a lot of unexpected expenses that have come up as a result of the pandemic. We've had to still continue to purchase the basic supplies to keep our shelter running, but those supplies sometimes have gone up in price. So if you think about, gloves or toilet paper or paper products, all those things that were really scarce for generally, those are things that we need on a regular basis for our shelter. So we've had to figure out ways to get those items donated or to, budget a little bit extra for that, as well as extra cleaning supplies. We've been, trying to figure out ways that we can continue to sustain the level of programming, the extra technology that we need to have our counselors do remote sessions with folks, our service coordinators contact people, do video chats, because that helps people to feel more connected.
That's right. And Zoom isn't free, and neither is a laptop to connect or the Wi-Fi to connect. I mean, all of these things come with a price tag, and even as simple as, Lysol wipes or something to keep everybody safe, or gloves or PPE or whatever, diapers, paper products, all those things that you said that we're personally all finding a hard time finding them in stores. But imagine you guys having to, order them and pay more. And so what's the biggest critical need you have right now, and how can we help you get those things, or at least financially donate to help you get those things that you need?
Well, I think the best way that folks can help us is non-directed cash donation. It doesn't even have to be a big cash donation. All of those little donations, $5, $10, $25, $30, they all add up and they all help to get us the essential things that we need. Normally our donation center is open and we can accept donations, but we've had to shut down our donations out of safety. And so we haven't been able to get those donations of diapers and wipes and, sheets and other things that folks donate to us. And so those cash donations really come in handy to be able to allow us to purchase things that we would normally have people donating to us. during regular.
Exactly. Exactly. So is the best way for people to do that by going to your website, and tell us how they can do that, what your website is, and some other, you know, social media platforms they might be able to find you on.
Absolutely. So on our website, which is www.hroof.org, you can find all kinds of information about the warning signs of intimate partner violence, about how to make a donation, about what kinds of volunteer opportunities are currently available. I'm afraid there aren't very many right now because we can't have folks on site. But
right.
If they want to volunteer in the future, that's also available on there as well. You can find out the how to get a protective order. So that's also on there as well. Chat line will also be through our website, again, www.hroof.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at House of Ruth MD.
Perfect. Thank you, Janice. And that chat room that you were talking about that's going to help a lot of people, the ETA on that is hopefully June 1st, if all goes well, right?
That is correct. We are in the process of standing it up right now. We know that that's something that a lot of folks have been asking for, and it's a way that most people communicate right now, and we just wanted to try to move up our timeline a little bit on getting it going, because we know that for some folks, they are just not able to talk on the phone.
Okay, great. And again, just to reset, we are speaking with Janice Miller, who is the Director of Programs and Clinical Services at House of Ruth, Maryland, and has been since 1998, right, Janice? So you know a thing or two about how you can help folks that are facing intimate partner violence, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we want to ask you next, how our listeners that are hearing this program on our stations at Entercom Baltimore, how can they help those that are facing intimate partner violence during the COVID-19 pandemic? We mentioned earlier that's more difficult because we are having to social distance if it's not someone who lives in your household or is in your immediate family. So that might be more difficult than it was in the past. So how can our listeners help you with that?
Yeah, so I think that if you know somebody or you're concerned about somebody, you could set up a way to check in with them on a daily basis, either through a text message or through a code word, or using a social media platform to just list a code word every day to just kind of give a sense of how things are. You know, and that communication could also indicate, like, I need you to call help for me, if that is what the victim wants. So that's something that you can do on a very personal level. On a much more community-based level, you know, consider giving a donation, a small donation to the House of Ruth to help us continue our efforts to reach these vulnerable folks and provide the services available to them. We know we also accept, you know, donations from the Internet or from Amazon to us are things that are pretty typical that we need, diapers, wipes, gloves.
Right. And then you've had so many great partners in the past, like WMAR2 News, where you used to be able to do those drives out with the public, like at a, you know, shopping center parking lot or something. So a lot of those things, you know, that you had that big push behind it, can't happen right now. So, and an important point to bring up again is that your donation center is currently closed to be in compliance. So that's why those online donations become so important. And you do have that Amazon wish list. Tell us about that, how that ships directly to your facility, right?
Yes. So if you're unsure what to get or what we might need, you can always just check out our website, www.hroof.org. Check out what our Amazon wish list is and just order directly from that. And that will help to get us the things that we know we need on a regular basis.
That's perfect. And how can someone who's listening who may need help themselves, and maybe that's why they tuned in early this morning, how can they find those resources during this time confidentially and as safely as possible?
So I think you could go through our Facebook or Instagram or Twitter site. You can also go to our website. If you're on our website, we do have an escape button that you can hit. It takes you, I think, to another website somewhere so that your partner wouldn't know what was going on. Just make sure you clear out your browser history after you've been searching the Internet for resources so that your partner can't come along behind you and see what you're doing.
Right. That's very, very important. Janice, you always bring us information that, gosh, we didn't even think of ourselves, but it's so, so important. And I just really want to thank you for all that you do at House of Ruth, Maryland.
You know, we just want to make sure that we're available for folks and that nobody should have to live in their home in fear. until that day, we're going to be available to provide those services for people who need to get away or just need some help trying to figure out how to change things.
Right, right. And is there anyone that you want to, as we're wrapping up, we have a minute or two left here, is there anything that I haven't asked that you want to make sure that you get a point across, or any people on your team that you want to thank or anything like that? As we have a few more minutes left, I want to make sure that we get, you know, the word out about what you guys need the most.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, everybody who's been working at House of Ruth, they've worked so hard, and particularly those staff who are staffing our shelter or 24-hour hotline or doing those deliveries out into the community. They're taking all the precautions they need in order to be safe, but we really appreciate them continuing to come in and working the A-B schedules to try to minimize contact. They're really, you know, making it happen so that folks who need us can get those services.
Yep, we know about those A-B schedules, those alternating schedules, where we have Jerry O'Brien, who's been helping us record this remotely. You know, he's there every other week, so we're all kind of adapting to that, you know, working together and working as safely as possible. Any other things that you guys are doing online at all, like virtually, that we can get involved with in the future? Anything you can that you know is in the pipeline, other than, of course, that chat room, again, if you want to get the information out about that? Or maybe real quick, the number to call for your legal help with obtaining, you know, the restraining orders, and also that 24-hour hotline. I think those are two very, very important things that we should repeat again.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is either call our 24-hour hotline, again, 410-889-7884, or if you need immediate assistance, you can call 911. The police will come, and they should be able to get you to where you need to be, or at least help you connect with those services. We often tell, you know, folks that you don't actually have to be the expert on domestic violence. You just have to know that we are available and get
That's
people
right.
to us. And then we will do all of that for the folks who really need us.
Absolutely. Well, if you didn't know that, hopefully you do now. And again, your website is a wealth of information, too. If all of this was too fast and you didn't have anything to write with, hruth.org. And you're all over social media at House of Ruth MD, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, we want to thank you so much. Janice Miller has been our guest this morning, the Director of Programs and Clinical Services at House of Ruth, Maryland. Janice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us on, Gina.
And absolutely. And please stay in touch if there's anything else we can help you with as folks are handling intimate partner violence during the COVID-19 pandemic. I want to thank you for listening. You can reach out to me on social media at all the platforms as well at Gina Crash. I'll put you in touch with House of Ruth, Maryland. Thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.